Greetings to each of you in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be together here again this morning. Thank you, Randall, for leading that new song for us. I was looking through the songbook yesterday, and I saw that song, and I didn't know it, but it caught my eye because it's a minor, and I like minors. And when you have a minor Christmas song, I especially like it. So I'm looking forward to hopefully learning it better this month. Is a beautiful song. You can turn with me to John chapter 1. And I want to read, to begin here, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. It's a very familiar passage. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. This is, as we all are very much aware, Christmas season. And Christmas is a time to reflect and to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And of course, we understand that it's a man-made holiday, and it's probably not entirely historically accurate, but there's still value in having a time when we focus on the incarnation of Christ. And it's impossible to separate Jesus from light. Many of the prophecies about the coming Messiah include the idea of light. Isaiah 9 verse 2 says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." And he goes on to say that he's going to come, he's going to be the Prince of Peace and the Counselor and the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and those verses. Prophecies about the coming Messiah. Zacharias' prophecy that's recorded in Luke 1:79, where he said that the coming Messiah would give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. And when Jesus' birth was announced to the shepherds, it says, "The glory of the Lord shone round about them." It was a light of some type, a bright light. And we sang the song, "Star of the East." That was a light that guided the wise men. And many of the Christmas carols that we sing include the idea of light. We sang this morning, "Silent Night." "Son of God loves pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face." The song that Randall's teaching us talks about and I didn't write it down, but the light of light eternal. The coming of the light of light eternal. "Hark the herald angels sing, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings. O come all ye faithful," says true God of true God, light of light eternal. And that's just a few. A lot of the Christmas carols that we enjoy and that we sing include the idea of the light. And we like to sing Christmas carols. Hopefully we do. I like to sing Christmas carols because we have something to sing about. The Son of God left his place in heaven to become a human baby and to bring light into this dark world so that we don't need to continually walk in darkness. Verses 12 and 13 here in John 1, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." There are a lot of other lights this time of year, but they're poor substitutes for the real thing. Satan uses whatever he can to sidetrack and distract us from the true light, the Son of God. And this isn't specifically a Christmas message, but I've titled it, "Jesus, the Light of the World." And we want to start off by looking at six characteristics of Jesus as the light of the world, and then conclude with some thoughts of how we are to be lights as well, our responsibility as children of light. And so number one, Jesus is the source of light. We read here in John 1, verse 3, it says, all things were made by him, without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 10 says, verse 10, he was in the world was made by him. He's the source of light. And we can, of course, go back to Genesis chapter 1. And the first thing that was created was light. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, or verse 3, God said, well, let me read verse 2. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. So the very first thing that he created was light. But then it wasn't until day 4. On day 4, if we go to verses 14 and 15, it says, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. So I don't know what the light was that he made first of all, but he said, let there be light. And I think that was just the presence of God, the life-giving light of the earth that he created first. Now on day 4, he actually made the sun and the moon and the stars and the other lights. But God is the source of light. He's the creator of physical life. We could think of other things, fire. Because of the way he created the earth, we have fire. Fire gives light. He gave man the ability to invent artificial light. And so he is the source of light. He's, of course, also the source of spiritual light. We read the verse in Isaiah 9 where it says, they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. In verse 4 here of John 1, in him was life, and the life was light of men. Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? And 1 Peter 2, 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so he is the source of light. And there's many, many verses in the Bible that talk about light. And I'm going to reference quite a number as we go along. We'll turn to some of them. We'll reference others of them, and we're not catching near all of them that we could, but many, many verses that talk about light in relation to Jesus. Luke 2, 28, we have Jesus, baby Jesus being taken to the temple, and Simeon, and these are Simeon's words. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Jesus is the creator of light. And he submitted to the Father's will. He came to earth as a baby to bring light. In fact, in his own words, he said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. It's John 12:46. And so without God, without Jesus, there would be absolutely no light. The earth would still be without form and void, without Jesus, the source of light. Number two, Jesus is the pure light. Back in John 1, verse 9, it says, that was the true light. And the word true, it means it's not counterfeit, it's not pretend, it's genuine, it's perfect. He is the true light, the real light. As the creator of light, he is the light, the pure light. And interestingly enough, and I didn't think about this before until I was studying, but light cannot be contaminated. You cannot contaminate light. In the natural world, there's nothing that's as pure as sunlight. It can't be defiled, it can't be corrupted, no matter what it passes through or falls on. You cannot contaminate light. Light exposes contamination, and in fact, light is even used to cure and to kill contamination, kill bacteria and so forth. Light is used in some of those for some of those purposes. And we can distort light, we can manipulate light, we can block light, but we can't change the nature of the light itself. And so Jesus is the pure light. In John 1, 1 John 3:5, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. In Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. There is no trace of darkness whatsoever in him. He is the pure light, cannot be contaminated, but it will reveal contamination. Number three, Jesus is the constant light. In the natural world, the speed of light is constant. Who can tell me what the speed of light is? One of your school children, or if you don't know, any of the adults can say, maybe some of the school teachers. Randall. Is it 186,282 feet per second. Yeah, but you were very close. Yeah, I think we often round it to 186,000, but I think it's 186,282 miles per second, feet per second. I have it as miles, but it's feet per second. I'm pretty sure it's feet per second, right? I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's feet per second. I think I wrote it down here wrong. But either way, it's fast. And either way, it's constant. It doesn't change. And Albert Einstein is said to have stated that the reason that he was able to construct his theory of relativity was that there is one thing in the world that is constant, and that's the speed of light. Everything is relative, and so his famous E equals MC squared was tied directly to this constant of the speed of light. It's been said that the speed of light is the fundamental speed of the universe and describes the structure of the universe itself. Maybe you can understand that better than I can. But this constant is more important to our natural lives than we realize. So much of our lives depends on the speed of light being constant. Imagine trying to drive if the speed of light changed, because your whole depth perception and everything is based on the speed of light. And so the constancy of the speed of light affects every aspect of our lives. And we depend on it and we count on it and we don't think about it because it always is. And of course, of great, much greater value and importance is the fact that Jesus is constant light. His light didn't begin with his birth. And we looked at that. His light began at creation or prior to creation, but he created light. And so light didn't begin at birth. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. James 1, 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And his words in Malachi 3, 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. We can trust in that. We can depend on that. We can count on that. His light is constant. God is not capricious or changeable. He is absolutely unchangeable. And so his promises stand today just as much as they did at his birth and just as much as when they were given. And so we can have saving faith in him because of that, because he is the constant light. And natural light is not eternal. Even the brightest light that we're familiar with, the sun, is slowly deteriorating. And of course, that's not really of a concern to us because we fully count on being gone long before the sun burns itself out, because it's going to last for millions and millions of years at the rate it's going. But at some point, the sun is going to be extinguished. God is going to, at the end of time, it will cease to shine. But the light of Jesus is going to continue on and on. It's constant. It's never ending. The light of Jesus is going to illumine heaven throughout eternity. Revelation 21, 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And so the source of light in heaven is the Lamb, is God and Jesus. And I have no idea what that's going to be like, but we look forward to finding that out along with many other things about heaven. Number four, Jesus is the revealing light. Light, we use light to reveal things. It's dark, we get a flashlight, we're trying to look under the sofa for something that fell or whatever, we get a light, we shine it because it lightens, it reveals things. Jesus is revealing light. Ephesians 5, 13, all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Psalm 90, verse 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. And one more, 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so he is the revealing light. There's nothing hidden from the light of Jesus. And yet he gives us the option of choosing what we do with what's revealed. He shines his light. His light is shining. It's revealing. We have the option of choosing what we do with what's revealed. But no matter what we choose, it does not diminish the power of the light. It's impossible to hide from the light. And we talked about that a little bit in Sunday school about hiding, why people try to hide things. Because God is all-seeing. God is all-knowing. Jesus is the revealing light. It's impossible to hide from that light. Number 5, Jesus is the life-giving light. And if you're still in John 1, the idea of light and life are intertwined all through here. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Genesis 1, we noted that light was created before anything else. And that was probably, it was because, of course, God knows best. God is the creator. God could do whatever he wanted to. But before any other life was created, he created life. Because light gives life. And it's true that today there's some organisms that live in total darkness, deep in the ocean, caves, whatever. But I assume that their lives are still somewhat dependent on light through the various Earth's cycles I can't think of the word one, but light affects so much, the sunlight on the ocean and so forth, all of the patterns of movement of water and everything affects the life even in the deep ocean. And plants die without light because of photosynthesis. They need light for photosynthesis. And people could theoretically live without light for a while at least. But it's been proven that health declines very rapidly in the absence of light. And probably even quicker is mental health. Mental health declines very rapidly in people that are subjected to darkness for long periods of life, of darkness. And so light is necessary for life. And we also know that evil abounds without light. Scripture uses the terminology of darkness and death various places to describe those who are living selfishly and sinfully and those who have rejected Jesus as the Messiah. And it uses the opposite of light and life for those who believe and obey. And if we turn back from John 1 to John 3:19-21, he uses the comparison of people that are living in darkness. He says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And so those that are living in evil are in darkness. They're dead spiritually. But light brings life. John 8:12. John has a lot of verses about light and darkness. John 8:12, this is Jesus' words. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And one more, John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so Jesus is the life-giving light. He came that they might have life. He came to bring light, to do away with darkness. His pure, sinless sacrifice fulfilled the Old Testament sacrificial system and provided the way that we can be forgiven, that we can be quickened, we can be made alive, that we can walk in light. And then the sixth and last one is, Jesus is the victorious life. Victorious light. Jesus is the victorious light. And back in John 1, verse 5, reading it now in the NIV, it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The King James Version uses the word comprehended, NIV is clear. The light, darkness has not overcome it. Darkness cannot overcome light. Light always overcomes darkness, never the other way around. Even the feeblest light, you light a match, it's perfectly dark, and you light a match, you have light. And the darkness can't snuff out that light. That light has to be extinguished by some other outside force, whether you blow it out or whether it burns out of fuel or whatever it is. The darkness does not take over. That light overcomes the darkness. Darkness is powerless to extinguish it. And neither can darkness drive out darkness. The history of mankind is the story of the battle between light and darkness. Lucifer was called the son of the morning. And the name Lucifer actually means light bearer. But he rebelled against God. He rebelled against his pure life-giving light. And now he's Satan, the father of the night, bringing darkness, destruction, and death with him. And so there's continual battle between the darkness and light. Satan tries his hardest to prevent people from seeing the light. He imitates and perverts in order to distract us and to get us to focus on anything but what is that true and pure and life-giving light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He's trying to blind their eyes. He's trying to prevent the light from shining on them. And he still does that very much today as well. He tries to block the light. Light and darkness cannot coexist in the same place at the same time. When light shines, the darkness disappears, and the reverse is also true. When we block out the light, the darkness is immediate. But we know that the light will prevail. We said there's this battle of the ages between light and darkness, but we know that light will prevail. And you and I can choose to ignore the light. We can live in ways that block the light. We can allow darkness in our lives, and we will reap death. Or we can allow the light to shine in our lives, bringing life and hope. Hope of living in the light of Jesus for eternity. And so Jesus is the victorious light. So how do we respond? How do we react and live in this light? Ephesians 5, verses 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And so if we've allowed the light to shine in our hearts and drive away the darkness, we're children of light. How do we walk? He says, walk as children of light. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, or discerning what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove or expose them. And so walk as children of light. And we can go back to Matthew 5, the very familiar verses, where the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus commands us to be children of light, verses 14 to 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Excuse me. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. There's much darkness around us. There's an abundance of artificial light, of imitation joy, of tense peace. We don't produce our own light. None of us can produce our own light. We reflect Jesus, the light of the world, and so we should be the most joyful and peaceful people around. Our interactions and our daily lives should cause people to desire light and to draw closer to the light. Turn to 1 John chapter 1, I want to read a few verses here yet in conclusion from 1 John chapter 1. Well, actually, from the book of 1 John. 1 John 1, verses 5 to 7. Thinking about how we're supposed to live as children of light, he says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin." Now, chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." And then jumping to verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And so a characteristic of those that are walking in light is love for God and love for one another. And so we're called to be a light to the world. Jesus is the source of light. He's the only source of light. It's life-giving. It's pure. It's constant. And it will be victorious. And we can claim it to be victorious as well. And so your life of love and obedience to God is the brightest Christmas light possible. And so in this season, when people are hurrying and scurrying to get all of their Christmas things done, let your light shine. Reflect the love of God to those around us. Look for opportunities to remind people about Jesus, the light of the world. Be a ray of hope for some seeking soul that is struggling in darkness. Walk with Jesus, the light of the world, and reflect his light, endeavoring to glorify God by reflecting his light. Let's pray. Our gracious eternal Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of gathering